You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
The title of today's message is Rediscovering the Power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read Acts 1, 4 through 8. We've read this a couple times over the last month. We're going to do it again. Acts 1, 4 through 8. I'm reading in the English Standard Version, and it says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem." This is Jesus talking. "But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.' For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power." Somebody say power. "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Amen. It's the word of the Lord. Over the last couple of weeks, we have rediscovered that the Holy Spirit is not merely a force. Sometimes it's easy to treat him as such. And he's not just a doctrine or an idea, but he's the very presence of God dwelling within believers. And we rediscovered the person and the voice of the Holy Spirit. But today, we're going to rediscover something, I won't say greater, but something that much of the modern church has sort of left behind, at least in Western culture, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we were never meant to exist with just the information about Holy Spirit, to fill the intellect with ideas about the Holy Spirit, without the demonstration of the power of God's presence. We need the doctrine. We need to hold fast to the traditions of faith. We need to understand to the degree that we are able and to grow in our understanding of the ways of God. But even Paul said, we don't come to you with a mere talk or convincing words of men's wisdom. We come with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the gospel, even the gospel, was never meant to merely be explained. The good news of Jesus is revealed through transformed lives, empowered by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus prepared to ascend to heaven, he didn't tell the disciples, "Go build an organization with talented people so that you can impress the word," or the world, I'm sorry. He told them to wait. Why? Because they could not fulfill the mission of God without the power of God. These are the same disciples, many of whom departed from Jesus when he went to the cross. Peter was the same man that just, you know, a few weeks prior had denied that he even knew who Jesus was. Something had to change. Something had to shift the heart, and that was the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we don't want to learn or to settle with gathering without power, because it's in him. When we talk about the gospel or the gospel of the kingdom, power is intrinsically infused in the scriptures and in the gospel. There is no gospel without the power of his presence. And so we don't want to preach without power. We don't want to sing without power. We don't want to serve without power. And we certainly don't want to build churches without power. And look, guys, I'm okay with a little bit of hype. I don't mind. Like, some people are like, "Oh, it's hyper, it's emotionalism." Like, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and our strength. So I'm okay with setting the stage, but we have to understand that hype does not equal the holy. We could build hype. We could steward just the soul energy in the room and have a banging meeting, but it does not equal the holy presence of the living God. But it doesn't mean that we let go to lay hold of. This is why it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. We talked a little bit about that last week, I think it was. And you know, we tend to gravitate toward one or the other. Like, we want to love God with our mind, and everything's about the intellect, and it's about what we can learn and what we can think through, but we don't engage him with our emotions. If I engaged a marriage with just my mind and read every book on marriage and wrote down the 12 keys to having a peaceful home, but I did not engage my spouse with the emotion of my heart, the emotion that is intrinsic with love, it would not be enough. Yet we do that with the Lord sometimes. He wants the demonstration of your emotion, even if it's weeping before him, because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I love the early church. Some people want to elevate the early church as the target, but I really look at the early church as the birthing place, because it was not without its dysfunction. Everybody had their own strict scriptures, their own ideas, their own apostle, their own leaders that they followed. And it was kind of chaotic in the early church, but it was also beautiful, because what they did have was power. The early church was born in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe God is awakening a generation today, again, that does not merely want polished Christianity. They want authentic power, real Holy Spirit power that transforms lives. So let's talk about that a little bit. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers ordinary believers. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Just flip over one page if you're still in the Word, or swipe up one screen and you'll be there. And it says this. This is what we celebrated last week. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then what happened? You just flip over to Acts 4. I mean, a lot happened between then, but I want to highlight Acts 4:13. And it says this: now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. One of the greatest lies that the enemy tells believers is that you were not qualified to be used by God. I could actually feel it in the room today. And people, you know, some of you came in just under the weight of your circumstances or in the memory of your past, your history. And for some of us, our history was like 30 minutes ago. A little bit of tension on the way to church, or a little bit late, a little bit of bickering, couldn't get the kids out of bed. And you know what you said last night, last week. You know what flew out of your mouth or what actions you committed. But the Word says his mercies are new every morning and that his grace is sufficient for you. And so the slate is wiped clean when you confess the truth of your heart before God. And the cross now qualifies you. The cross now makes you worthy to be called sons and daughters of the living God. The cross is what leads you to Romans 8:15 that says you have now been given the spirit of adoption. That means the place where you once were, you no longer are. You have a good, good father. You have a father that eliminates the constraints of your bloodline and brings you into this beautiful eternal paternity in him. And you are qualified, not because of what you did or who you are, or because you worked your way into some great behavioral modification program, but because the blood of Jesus is actually enough for you today. But still, we disqualify ourselves because we feel, I don't know, too broken, too inexperienced, too weak, too ordinary. I still battle with those feelings. And I travel and I go to other places and I gotta go speak and whether it's, you know, at a conference in Asia or an unreached village in Africa, like, I don't feel like I'm the dude. I in my heart and my soul, like, I walk in, I don't walk in there like, yeah, I'm the man. No, I'm like, God, what do we do now? what do you want to say? But time and time again, and I have learned in even in my own weakness that I can trust him, for he is able to do above and beyond anything that I could ever ask or think. And so sometimes he does, or he answers the questions that I've never even asked. And then after he does it, I think, oh, that would have been a great question to ask him. But he's already given the answer, because God consistently chooses ordinary people and fills them with extraordinary power. He's done it all throughout scripture, even before the cross. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the normal people. It's the people that don't feel like they can. They don't feel qualified. Moses tried to get out of his job. There have been times I try to get out of my job. Like, look, that's what he does. Jeremy told me this morning, he's like, I'm getting a lapel mic. Because I always like smack my face. Like, I don't smack my face when I talk normally. It's just when I have a mic on. Anyway. But here's the thing, guys. The disciples, who I believe are going to be among the 24 elders that are, you know, throwing their crowns at the throne in Revelation 4 that we read earlier today, they were not religious elites. He didn't go and find like the most qualified rabbis and the most qualified teachers. He had like fishermen. He grabbed a tax collector. Common men. Broken women. That's who he brought unto himself. Yet Acts says the world recognized that they had been with Jesus. Man, I read that verse probably 6 years ago, and it hit me between the eyes. Like, I've read the book of Acts. I can't tell you how many times I've read the book of Acts. But identity is such a big issue for so many, especially as you're growing up. You know, as I was growing up, I didn't know who I was. I had to attach something external to who I was. Like, I'm Paul, the soccer player, or Paul, the martial artist, or Paul, the musician, or Paul this, Paul that. But what happens when your role changes? What happens when life shifts from your gifting to a different operation? If what you do, you've allowed that to become who you are, then you're missing the boat. What do we want to be known for? Even for this house, I don't want to be known for a house that is prophetic or apostolic or a house that's charismatic or, you know, the crazy people. We're not even that crazy anymore, but I want to be known as a people who have been with God. But to be known as people like the disciples who have been with Jesus, you have to walk with him day by day, night by night, in lockstep with him. Just like Jesus said about the Father, I can do nothing of myself. I only do what I see the Father doing. I want to be known as a man who has been with God. Because when you walk in a way that brings you into the presence, and you're walking now inside the sacred space of his name and his voice while it's on the move on the earth, then there's an atmosphere created around you that is bigger than your mood. It's greater than your circumstance. It's even more powerful than the expression of your face, however sedentary and annoyed it might be. And God will lead you into places and spaces where his presence now becomes the gravitational force that will pull people into your life in that moment. And they'll begin to wonder what's different about you. And you're thinking, man, if you only knew what was in my heart and my mind right now. But greater is he that is in you than the mood that is occupying your mind at any given point in time. I have often found that the crankiest days of my life are the days that he decides to put divine appointments in my life. He's been doing it so long now, it's like it's normal. It's sometimes when I wake up and I'm really cranky, I'm like, oh no. This is the day that God's going to do something weird. Acts says the world recognized the disciples as having been with Jesus. It was not about talent. The difference was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not empower perfect people. Why? Because they don't exist. He empowers surrendered people. Dr. Dan and I were texting this week, and we're texting about surrender. And, you know, he went through all these things, he was surrendering. And I was like, man, for me, my biggest battle, and I've already said it, sometimes is surrendering time. And not just time in general, but time that's outside of my plan for the day and how things are to go. And then that makes me cranky. And now because I'm cranky, I know he's going to put a divine appointment in my life that's going to require me to surrender more time. But I've been getting in that flow. What is the currency of your heart that you are withholding from Holy Spirit today? That's the question, and that's the point of conviction. You know, when Holy Spirit fills a person, fear begins to lose its grip. We see that in the lives of the disciples. Many believers spend their lives waiting to feel qualified before stepping out in faith. I'm not ready yet. The same people with unbelievers, you know, who haven't said yes to Jesus, and they're like, I need to fix a few things yet. No, you can't fix anything. You just gotta go. Moses did not want to be the one that led God's people out of Egypt. He's like, I don't speak well. I don't have a name. Like, who do I say is going with me? God says, I am. I'm sure that really helped. Moses rocks up to Pharaoh, and he's like, I come under the authority of I am. What's beautiful about that verse is, a side note, is that it's all it is just the word be. It's the verb be. But it's in this tense that is past, present, and continuous. Means it just, God is just saying, I exist for all time. Tell him that guy sent you. Power is not released through self-confidence. It's released through dependence upon God. And look, he's not looking for an impressive vessel. So if you came in feeling broken and kind of destitute today or just not worthy or not, you're in the perfect position to be filled by God. Because he doesn't want to create a vessel that just contains anyway. He wants a broken vessel so that you leak his presence everywhere that you go. When the Holy Spirit fills ordinary believers, impossible things begin to happen. Do we want to see the impossible begin to happen here in New England again? Yes. So what's the kingdom key? The Holy Spirit empowers surrendered people. Are we ready to surrender our lives to him today? But see, the Holy Spirit was not given just so believers could feel powerful. The Holy Spirit always has purpose, and that leads us to number two. The power of the Holy Spirit is given for mission. You guys know this verse, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm just going to read it. You can write it down. You can flip there if you're fast, and it'll be on the screens. It says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go. You just stop there. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It says make disciples. Notice what it doesn't say. Go and figure out who has salvation or not. Go and figure out if that person has their life all together or not. No, it says make disciples. I never need to get into the debate. Sometimes people try to trap me in a debate and they're like, well, what about this person? Will they go to heaven? What about that person? Will they go to heaven? I don't have to get in that debate because Jesus, at the beginning of the verse, said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is seated upon the white throne of judgment. I don't need to worry about that level of judgment. Yes, am I called to observe the fruit of a person before I call them kingdom family? Absolutely. Is that judgment? I guess we're using judgment to discern fruit. Absolutely. But it's not my job to figure out who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. Well, what if you do this sin? Are you going to hell? What about the village in Africa and they never heard about the gospel? Are they going to hell? I don't need to worry about that. My job is to go and make disciples. And that's your job too. Say, that's my job. Yeah, you just rooked yourself into a... Now you're commissioned. In closing, Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, in Boston, to Worcester, Maine, to Providence. you have power. Jesus made the purpose of the Holy Spirit power incredibly clear. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come, and you will be my witnesses. The direct result of power is being a witness for him. It's not just so that you can have, you know, some mystical experience and you can say, I encountered God. Oh, I need. No, when you better be ready, because when that power comes upon you, there is purpose on the other side of it. Everywhere grace is given in Scripture, responsibility is assumed. We got a job to do. The Holy Spirit empowers believers to carry Jesus into the world. The power of God was never intended to terminate in this vessel, meaning it was never intended to stop here. We are not a terminator. We are a conduit. We are an amplifier for the voice of God, just like I'm speaking into a microphone now. And the microphone is capturing the vibrations of my voice, and it's sending it as an electrical signal to a transmitter that then is anchored to an amplifier that takes this little voice, I know I'm a little bit loud, my big voice, but makes it bigger. That's who you are to God. You are a transducer. He is speaking into your life, but it's the intent is not just to deposit something into your heart. It's to take the things of the king and the kingdom, and you are to amplify them on the earth and thereby make disciples, duplicate, replicate, and leave an inheritance to the children's children, which is a culture of the kingdom. His power is intended to flow through us toward people. And when his power comes, you are now empowered with boldness, compassion, evangelism, healing, deliverance, service, love, witness, and the list goes on. We might want to start with the prophetic, but the prophetic is just in the mix with all of the other things. And one of the dangers in charismatic culture is that we begin to pursue spiritual experiences while forgetting the mission. In Scripture, every genuine move of God, every genuine move of the Holy Spirit moved outward toward people. After Pentecost, the gospel spread, the sick were healed, communities were transformed, the lost encountered Jesus. The Holy Spirit didn't merely create exciting services, he created bold believers. And when the Holy Spirit breaks out upon a people, they do not simply stay in emotional moments. I mean, I'm all in on emotion, by the way. I'm okay. We can be emotional. As a matter of fact, when we encounter the God that gave everything for you, the God that loves you so much, it ought to elicit an emotional response in us. As he breaks off that which was and he declares to you, behold, I make all things new. But let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon a people, as he is, I believe, in this house, prayer meetings are about to explode. You are about to invite the lost into your experience with Jesus again. Believers are about to step into greater ministry. Communities around us are about to encounter the presence of the living God. Because when the Holy Spirit truly moves, mission always follows. The Holy Spirit does not make believers passive. He makes them dangerous to darkness. Are you dangerous to darkness today? Are you dangerous to darkness today? If you can't answer with a resounding yes today, I got good news for you. The Holy Spirit's about to come upon your life, and everything is about to change. So what's the kingdom key? The power of the Holy Spirit is given so believers can carry the love mission of Jesus into the world. The power of the Holy Spirit is given so you can carry the love mission of Jesus into the world. But as we pursue the power of the Holy Spirit, we must understand something that is important. The power of God is never about performance. Number three, the power of the Holy Spirit flows through intimacy, not performance. Flip over to John chapter 15 or just write it down. John 15, 4 and 5 in the English Standard Version. Y'all know this. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Look, I'm also not anti-performance. But where do we platform from? Where do we launch from? Intimacy produces performance with right motivation. But performance never produces true intimacy. See, religious structure without the presence will emphasize action and performance as a means to get to. But that's not how it works in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we start from intimacy, and now that moves us into action and performance. Because our heart's desire is to abide in the vine, because there's no place we would rather be than heart to heart and face to face with the living God. You know, the modern Western world is pretty obsessed with image and platform performance. I don't know, there's not a lot of like physical magazines anymore, but you know, I remember going through the checkout counter, the grocery store, and there was a magazine called Self. That always tripped me up. Now we have, you know, social media people, they're called influencers. The first time I heard that term, I don't know what app I was on, but it was all new. There was some girl from Australia, I think, and she was doing a live video, and she goes, "I'm an influencer." I literally about choked on my drink. I was like, "What are you influencing?" The reality is that they are. It's time for the church to become the loudest voice in the room, but not like the loudest voice in some angry, cantankerous way, but let the loudness of your voice be drenched with love, and we can influence a generation toward the light and love of Christ. Because we lived in a world that's obsessed with image and platform and performance and appearance, but the kingdom of God operates differently. The Holy Spirit is not drawn to performance. He's drawn to surrender. And many believers think that power comes through striving harder, trying harder, acting spiritual. That used to be me. I was like, I'm a hammerhead anyway, like by nature. But being a hammerhead without intimacy, it will just wear you out. I even had a line in a song that people wanted me to change. I never changed it. And I wrote this back in like 1996. The line in the song was, "In your word, I search for the path to gain the favor of a king," because I never felt worthy. I opened the song by saying, "Lord, I struggle to stand before you. Your grace, I never seem to grasp." I just struggled with this free gift of grace that would truly say his mercies are new every morning. I was always trying to help God with his salvation for me. You can't help him. Just let him do it and trust that the blood of Jesus is enough. The cross is enough. It's not about striving harder or trying harder or acting more spiritual. It's living a life that's postured before him. And from that place, out of your love for him and his love for you, you might just strive for him. You might just work a little harder for him. You might just be a little more spiritual for him. And let me tell you what spiritual looks like. Holding the hand of the grieving, the hurting, not even offering advice, but just being with them and allowing and trusting the love of God to come into the moment before you ever even utter a word. It's the things that you do in the secret place, the secret space of your life. The impact that you might have in a place where no one will ever see. Many times it begins there. Jesus said, abide in me. Power flows from intimacy. Throughout church history, great moves of the Holy Spirit were preceded by prayer, repentance, humility, hunger, and surrender. The Holy Spirit's not looking for celebrity pastors. He's looking for yielded vessels. And it's easy to make the mistake of seeking power while neglecting relationship with God. I would even put it a different way. It's easy to function off of gifting and leave relationship behind. Gifts without intimacy eventually become empty performance, and it's a horrible place to be. The Holy Spirit doesn't just want to work through you. He wants communion with you. One of the most beautiful things about genuine revival is that its deepest moments are not merely found on platforms, but in private surrender. I remember the moments long after crowds settled or crowds, you know, went away, that people, a few people would linger in worship and prayer. They stayed, they waited, they pursued the presence of God. And the deeper the intimacy became, the stronger the atmosphere of power became. Because the presence of God always rests deeply where intimacy grows. What's the kingdom key? The greatest flow of Holy Spirit power comes through intimacy and surrender to God. So what happens when believers begin walking in the true power of Holy Spirit? Well, boldness rises, fear breaks, silence and timidity shatters, passivity gives way to like a class 5 rapid of the river of life that is flowing out of you. If you don't know what a class 5 rapid is, it's a lot. Only once have I ever been a class 5 rapid, and that was in my younger days. I'm not sure I would do that now. But that's the kind of river of life that we want flowing out of our bellies. Because when people get caught up in that, they've just got to roll and flow in the river. So number 4, the power of the Holy Spirit produces boldness. Acts 4, verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I remember I was here one time. There was maybe Jeremy was here. I can't remember who was here. But someone was in the prayer room. And we had one of those little, you know, baby New England earthquakes. And the floor rumbled. And I was like, did I just feel that? And so I went into the prayer room. As a woman, she moved away, but she, you know, she was there sitting on the floor, and she just sat on the floor, and her eyes were big as saucers. I was like, did you feel that? She's like, uh-huh. She said, I thought it was just me. I was just praying, and then the room was shaking, and I thought the King of Glory is about to step into this room. I was like, well, let me step out and shut the door, because you never know. Maybe that's what's happening. See, before Pentecost, Peter denied Jesus publicly. But after Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, Peter steps out of his own personal spiritual experience. And he stood before crowds, and he preached with boldness. What changed? He'd been with Jesus. He'd walked with him. But it was the Holy Spirit that came. That's why Jesus said, it's better if I go. They couldn't even conceive of what that was like. You have to understand, the thing that we take for granted, they had never experienced in all of history up to that point, that God would tabernacle inside man, that the presence of the Holy Spirit would not just come upon us and saturate us and baptize us in fire, but that the Holy Spirit would take up residence in us. We don't even know what that's like to live without that. Don't take it for granted. I know I have at times. Don't take it for granted. Don't take him for granted. The power of the Holy Spirit transforms fearful people into courageous witnesses. And I believe one of the greatest assignments of the enemy against this generation is intimidation. And it's a spirit But he cannot stop you. He can only intimidate you. He can make you feel like you are stopped. He can make you feel that you can't speak. He can make you feel that you don't walk in power. He can make you feel like you don't even have Holy Spirit in you anymore. But he cannot stop you. He is a deceiver. He does not speak truth. What is the fruit of that intimidation? It's fear of rejection, fear of criticism, fear of failure, fear of standing out, fear of speaking truth. But the Holy Spirit breaks intimidation when you surrender to him. The Holy Spirit gives believers courage to pray boldly, love boldly, preach boldly, worship boldly, serve boldly, and live boldly. There are people in this room who love God deeply, but fear has kept you silent. You know God has called you. You know God has stirred your heart. You know there's more inside of you, but fear has restrained your obedience. Can I remind you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside you? You were not created to live timid or passive or spiritually asleep. You were created to carry the power of God into the earth around you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives inside you, not beside you, not visiting you occasionally, not available only for pastors or Mama Verna or spiritual leaders, but he's inside you, every one of you. That means you were never created to live bound by fear, never created to live spiritually numb. You were never created to live intimidated by darkness, never created to live trapped in cycles of defeat while carrying resurrection power within you. The enemy wants believers to be weak and passive and distracted and silent, because a believer who discovers the power of the Holy Spirit becomes dangerous to darkness. And when the Holy Spirit fills a person, dead things begin to come alive again. Can these bones live? Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Even now, prayer comes alive. Worship comes alive. Faith comes alive again. Boldness comes alive again. Purpose comes alive again. The Holy Spirit did not come merely to make church services emotional, although I'm not opposed to your emotion. He came to make believers powerful. You were created to carry the presence of God into your workplace, into your schools, into your communities, your whole family, your city. Take authority of that space. It's my city. When I step into a place or I step into a nation, I just say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and I'm an ambassador for the king. And so I take possession of the space everywhere that I go. His light is about to flood this place again. Oh, where are the people in New England who are tired of powerless Christianity? Oh God, you have raised up flames all across this land. Do it again in this room, oh God. Where are the people in this region who are tired of routine, tired of surviving, tired of knowing there is more, but never finding the strength to step into it, hearing the words of what God is about to do, but never stepping beyond the word to into the now? God is about to do whatever it is that we walk in today. Tired of knowing there is more, but not finding the strength to step into it. Right now in this room, Holy Spirit is awakening something again. It's power. Power for purpose. Holy Ghost power, resurrection power, boldness from heaven, fire from heaven. The same Spirit that shook the upper room is still moving on the earth today. The same Spirit that empowered the early church is still filling believers today. The same Spirit that transformed fearful disciples into world changers is here in this room right now. Just reach out and touch him. His glory is hovering over you right now, waiting for a people that will rise up out of their circumstance into eternal purpose again and again and again. and again. And here's the good news. He's not looking for perfect people. Therefore, you are qualified. But he is looking for surrendered people who will say, Holy Spirit, here is my life. Fill me and use me for the glory of Jesus. What's that final kingdom key? The power of the Holy Spirit transforms fearful believers into bold witnesses for Jesus. Bridge, we are standing at a crossroads. How many of us have felt it? So many words spoken. So often the prophetic is an if-then statement. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal the land. Let me tell you, we cannot transform cities without power. We cannot break cycles of addiction without power. We cannot heal broken lives without power. We cannot reach this generation without power. Programs are good, but they can't save people. Talent can't save people. Charisma can't save people. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can transform lives because of the cross of Jesus. Look, the book of Acts was not built by impressive people by any stretch of the imagination. Even Paul said of himself, he had a brilliant mind, but he wasn't a very good speaker and he didn't look that great. It was the power that marked him. It was built by people filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit filled them, the sick were healed, demons fled, cities turned upside down, revival spread, and the gospel advanced with unstoppable power. We cannot be believers that live beneath what God intended. I don't want to survive. I want to burn. I don't want to watch. I want to move. I don't want to just attend. I want to advance. And the Holy Spirit is awakening boldness again. There is power for every believer in this room. Power to overcome sin. Power to walk in purity. Power to pray boldly. Power to love people. Power to witness, endure, heal, minister, and carry the presence of Jesus. And the same Holy Spirit that moved in the book of Acts is moving in this room right here, right now. And he's still filling people. He's still empowering people. He's still awakening us. He's still calling ordinary believers into extraordinary kingdom impacts. He's calling us to align fully with his word in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Do you truly believe today? Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.